This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
In Afghanistan, it's all about the press for infrastructure and what's happening with J&J and the coronavirus vaccine, fear and panic, plus the latest from the Chauvin trial in Minneapolis. And speaking of Minneapolis, more problems due to a second shooting in Minneapolis. A police officer resigning, and a chief as well. Hey, hey, everybody. As the world turns here in the USA, Kate Delaney, what's shaking in your part of the country or off our shores? Let's dive into J&J first, because as we combat the pandemic and more people are smiling and heading out to restaurants, wearing shirts that say, hug me, I have my shots, and others who haven't been vaccinated saying, yeah, I'm still not doing it, especially with the latest that they've heard about this J&J vaccine. So you had top Biden administrative health officials that were gathering, thinking this out, and jumped on a Zoom call a couple of days ago, knowing they faced a pretty tough decision. And what was that tough decision? What to do about this Johnson & Johnson coronavirus vaccine? What was the decision? There was something that happened with a life-threatening blood clots. Yikes. A problem that was seen to one in Europe, AstraZeneca's vaccine. So there was one death. There was somebody else in critical condition. Six women altogether getting blood clots after getting the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. The decision was, we're going to put it on hold for now. But here's the thing. Either way, people who are fearful of the vaccine and reaction certainly are frightened of the idea of that one in a million chance that you would get a brain blood clot. They say, honestly, it's easier to get struck by lightning. But you know, when you hear about, you mean people went to get a vaccine? And that happened. So it was a unanimous agreement to recommend a pause, if you will, in using the single shot J&J deal until they decided it was okay to start it up again. Critics are saying that's an overreach. That's nothing. That's not that many people if you look at how many people have gotten the vaccine and they're absolutely fine. Here's the thing. I think once you hear that, once you hear, oh my gosh, you're kidding. What vaccine did you get? You mean you got J&J and look what happened to these people? How do you feel about that? I think it strikes up more fear in people by hearing that there's a pause. Either way, when we look at the amount of people that have been vaccinated versus those that have not gotten vaccinated, the number is still high. So while people who have gotten the Johnson & Johnson coronavirus vaccine are concerned about the six women who suffered from cerebral venous sinuses thrombosis, it's a rare blood clot, and are concerned about, will I get some kind of reaction? There, again, are still so many that have been vaccinated. The numbers just keep climbing. But it is ultimately about the risk-reward of getting it, not getting it, what the visual elements look like to people. And I can't blame somebody for seeing that and thinking, oh, are you kidding? I was already on the fence. People were trying to tell me they had no reactions. I should feel calm about it. And, yeah, easy to say, but then I read this about the blood clots. So that's where we're at with that. Some wondering about what will happen with them. Others feeling like they dodged a bullet, so to speak, because they didn't get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, and then others still who signed up for the vaccine now on hold because that was the vaccine that they were getting. Wow. It never ends, my friends. It never ends. We'll have more on the pandemic and more on, really, honestly, if you should do anything, if you already got the J&J vaccine and you're listening to all the things that are happening. 122.3 million have been vaccinated. That's 45.8% of the eligible population, 16 and older, 36.8% of the total population in the United States. Those numbers are from the CDC, and then throw in the other numbers of the amount of people that have died in the U.S., over 555,000. That's from Johns Hopkins University, and there you have it. We move over to Afghanistan, and it seems like forever that we've been in Afghanistan, and, you know, absolutely we have been since after 2011. It's the 20th anniversary of the Al-Qaeda attacks on the United States that were planned from Afghan soil. So President Biden is going to lay out plans on Wednesday to withdraw all forces by September 11th, 2021. Again, it will be the 20th anniversary of that. So that was one of the campaign promises, to close down the longest war. And that's one of the things that he said. He sees the war against the Taliban as dragging on, and that we need to deal with bigger threats like China, which they have the potential to knock us out cyber-wise and start a cyber war. He also looks at the coronavirus pandemic, if you look at his agenda, and the Afghan war is the thing that he was going to slice out of. So that was his pledge, to end the two-decade-old U.S. war in Afghanistan. So that's happening. And more specifics on that will be announced on Wednesday. But how about it? Like I said, it seems like constantly we were hearing about how many people died, what happened, and the quicksand of the Middle East now loses more American boots on its soil. By the way, in Afghanistan, and that goal he's pursuing, that was something actually the former president, Trump, wanted to do too as well, ending the presence there by a certain date. The former President Trump couldn't withdraw all the forces on his watch. He had set a May 1st deadline, and now Biden is pushing that and going beyond the deadline by only a few months and making it, I think, symbolic because of the fact that it's in September and it is that 20-year date. So that drawdown is pretty big, and they're working on that. I'm sure they're working on that right now, because what it takes to remove the amount of forces we're talking about takes a while. If we've had strategists on the show before, military strategists, and talking about how do you withdraw, how do you wrap up the machinery of what the war looks like, you know, meaning the equipment, the troops, the everything, and how long that takes. And it does take a while to do that. So there were signals that that was already happening. Derek Chauvin's defense opens with a focus on George Floyd's drug use. Then there's rebuttal testimony on use of force. That was the latest from Minneapolis. We'll talk about that coming up, and other things as well on the flip side.
Brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us.
That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
With more people at home due to the pandemic, it's more important than ever to keep small lithium coin batteries away from children. On a mission to help keep families safe, battery brand Duracell and the American Academy of Pediatrics have joined forces to power safely. Bobby Mendez, president of Duracell North America.
Well, in Duracell, we're very proud of being teaming up with the AAP in this shared mission of keeping children safe. And at the heart of the effort is a campaign to raise awareness.
Duracell has also come out with a bitter coating on their most popular lithium coin batteries.
And what this does, it discourages the child from swallowing the battery. So that's really the at the heart of the innovation.
Duracell and the AAP urge all parents, caregivers, and pediatricians to learn more about lithium coin battery safety at Duracell.com or HealthyChildren.org.
In our next segment, a conversation with Patrick Yeh. Patrick Yeh lived in Burma, what is now Myanmar. They're having all kinds of problems there, shooting people in the streets. He talks about what he saw, what he dealt with in his family, and what's the way of life there. And boy, this has been a sticking point, obviously, for the last last couple of years. There have been problems that have bubbled up. So we'll chat with Patrick Yeh, who now lives in Hungary, coming up again in our next segment. And also coming up, the mic drop, and it's kind of one of those moral questions as to, or maybe it's not, as to what would you do? And it has to do with, of course, money. But way before we go there, let's talk about a couple of other things, and that is what I mentioned that are very big. The tension, you can feel it, as I'm told by so many in the Minneapolis, even St. Paul area, because of how people feel about the things that are happening there, including the Dante Wright death, and here just 10 miles away from where Derek Chauvin, the ex-Minneapolis cop, is being tried. But let's go there first. So this is what happened in the latest in the courtroom. The defense phase is up, and that's the second phase of the trial, as they're going to counter weeks of damaging and emotional testimony that painted Derek Chauvin as a rogue officer who pretty much dumped his training and betrayed his badge when he knelt on George Floyd's neck for more than 9 minutes while a 17-year-old stuck in a situation had her camera rolling, her camera on her phone rolling, and the video went viral. So the defense case is expected to actually wrap up by Thursday. And there is, again, that tension in the city, of course, because of also the Wright shooting in a Minneapolis suburb of Brooklyn Center. But first, let's talk about the latest with Chauvin. So his defense attorney, Eric Nelson, presented jurors with body cam video of that 29
a 2019 incident between Floyd and police. And in that encounter, Floyd was pulled from a car by the cops at gunpoint. When he began speaking incoherently, they called paramedics. They found his blood pressure was elevated. At the police station, Floyd admitted to having taken pain pills and was taken to the hospital. He wasn't charged with any crime related to the stop, any of that. And the jury wasn't told many of the details of it because of limits of on testimony ordered by the judge. But Nelson was fighting to include evidence of that and that arrest, saying it was remarkably similar to the encounter with his client, arguing that Floyd died of a combination of drug intoxication and existing health problems from the pressure, not from the pressure of Chauvin's knee pressing into his neck and back as he was handcuffed and face down on the street. So there's like a kind of a whirlwind of witnesses, a carousel, if you will, boom, 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 one after another and testifying in different ways, including Barry Brood, who's a former Santa Rosa police officer, who said, "I felt that Officer Chauvin's interactions with Mr. Floyd were following his training, following current practices, and policing." Now, so you know, there's paid consultants, experts. So he was paid $11,400 to be an expert witness for the defense, contradicting prosecution experts that said, and the testimony of numerous Minneapolis police officers, including the chief, he repeatedly said he didn't consider Floyd being placed in a prone position on the street, his arms cuffed behind his back, with Chauvin and the other officers restraining him, to be a use of force. So Brood testifies to that. And then, of course, then you have the counterpunch to it. He's trying to argue that the prone position wasn't dangerous, etc., and went through what a defense witness in this case would provide to the defense team. But clearly, the jury was listened to that, but they were shown that two-minute video clip I mentioned, and the officers cursing and shouting at Floyd and ordering him to show his hands, and him saying, "Don't shoot me, man," and then being pulled from the car and handcuffs with no incident, etc., and having other witnesses. Like I said, it was like a carousel of witnesses. But knowing that this is wrapping up on Thursday, what do you ultimately think the jury will decide? Will they find, and it's tough to do this because in the past it hasn't happened very often, will they find Chauvin guilty on all three counts related to George Floyd's murder? We may know this by next week. We may know it. Not sure. But I bet. Yeah. I bet there's a good chance, which is pretty quick to have that happen if you think about it. But, wow, how about that? All right, so the latest with what's happening with Dante Wright and again, adding to the, I won't call it chaos, but to the tension that is hanging in the balance in the air, in two areas that are very close to each other. So the officer who shot Dante Wright resigned, as did the Brooklyn Center Police Chief. Kim Potter was the officer and said resignation is in the best interest of the community. And she fatally shot an unarmed black man in the suburb of, 10 miles outside of where Floyd is being, not Floyd, where Chauvin is being tried. And she decided she should resign. And the police chief did too. So pretty big shakeup from a place reeling from this shooting. The resignations didn't quell the calls for justice for Dante Wright at 20 years old, who was killed during a traffic stop. And, of course, we know now Kim Potter, and as it was said as it unfolded, was not reaching for her gun but thought she was reaching for her taser. She was training, apparently, another officer. She had been on the job 25 years, and she shot him instead of using the taser. So the timing of this, what's happened, and the family calling for some kind of, not retribution, but I'll say fair that she should be, there should be a charge in this. She should be charged with something. So the family holds a news conference, and the family members wept openly and hugged and cried and held Dante Wright's two-year-old son in their arms before the cameras. And there's a lot of grief happening and a lot of anger happening in Minneapolis, like I said. So the investigation into it is still ongoing at this point, but there are protests and there are curfews. There is a 4-county, 7 p.m. curfew that was enacted by the governor because of the reaction to what happened with Dante Wright. Wow. All right, before we bounce to Patrick Yeh and what's going on in Myanmar and what happened in the past there and the politics of it all, there's a woman named Kayleen Spadoni, who transferred money received from Charles Schwab to another account. So can somebody transfer money from one account to another? Of course they can. But this Louisiana woman is being accused of mistakenly receiving money and not returning the money. She refused to return $1.2 million she mistakenly received from Schwab. So, according to one of my favorite reads, NOLA.com, the suspect allegedly immediately transferred them from one account to another. Like I said, she was arrested on Wednesday. She moved it over thinking, I guess, no one would notice. Before she got the funds, she had opened an account with them in, I guess, January. And the company had installed an enhancement to the program they used to transfer assets. But what the company meant to place, well, they meant to place $82.56 into her account, they mistakenly deposited $1.2 million. Now I ask you, if you suddenly see $1.2 million, what are you thinking? Are you thinking, well, this is a big mistake, obviously, because I don't have $1.2 million. And you call up the company and say, ah, gosh, I just got to tell you that you've put into my account $1.2 million, and it can't be mine. Surely that's so much more than the $82.56 that I thought was going into that. So now she's being sued by Charles Schwab in federal court and has been charged with theft, valued at over $25,000, bank fraud and illegal transmission of monetary funds. She was fired from her job of 4.5 years as a 911 dispatcher for the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office. Ooh, and she's being held on a $50,000 bond. Very sad. Very sad. What would you do? Patrick Yeh, next.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer, it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer, Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer, excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The CDC has called for a pause on the administration of Johnson & Johnson's coronavirus vaccine in the wake of a handful of cases of severe blood clots in recipients. The CDC and FDA say they made the recommendation for the pause out of an abundance of caution while they study the issues. The 6 cases all occurred in women aged 18 to 48 and occurred 6 to 13 days after they'd received the vaccine. One woman died and another is in critical condition. All 50 states have now followed the recommendation and put a hold on administering the J&J shot. Dr. Anthony Fauci tells ABC News that it's important to remember how rare these adverse effects have been.
I think the important thing to emphasize is that it is very rare. There were six women out of the 6.85 million vaccinations of the J&J, which means that it's less than one in a million.
You're listening to USA Radio News. The Capitol police officer killed in an attack on April 2nd was honored Tuesday at the Capitol Rotunda. William Billy Evans was killed when he was hit by a car that rammed a barricade outside of the Capitol building. During a memorial service, President Biden spoke to Evans' family about grief.
My prayer for all of you is that the day will come when you have that memory. And I said, just smile before you bring a tear to your eyes. I promise you it's going to come. It just takes a while. It takes a while. But when it comes, you'll know because he's still with you. He's still in your heart.
And the U.S. Coast Guard is responding to reports of a capsized commercial lift boat off the coast of Louisiana. The 265-foot vessel capsized during a severe storm south of Grand Isle, Louisiana. Several ships in the area have also joined the rescue operation. You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's a man named Dr. Joel Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on health care by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, take charge of their health, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects and more toxic prescription drugs. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government, big pharma, and big insurance manipulation of our healthcare system. I'm George Dorey, and I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare. Visit BrightsideBen.com and listen to Doc Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I urge you to join the Brightside Ben team. Go to BrightsideBen.com. That's BrightsideBen.com.
What an important conversation we're about to have here on the show with Patrick Yeh. And he's written a couple of books about the things that have happened to him and what's going on in Myanmar, what's happened, Burma. Agony to Agony, Through the Eyes, Through the Eagle's Eyes, Part 2 of Agony to Agony. And, boy, I think he could even write more. Patrick Yeh is a pediatric surgeon, artist, and author, and we are thrilled to go to Hungary and have him on this show. Thank you so much, Patrick, for coming on.
You're welcome.
Let's talk about your story. What happened? Take us back to a moment in time in the late 60s and a protest that the world maybe didn't know that much about and the significance of it.
In March 1962, General Ne Win coup the government, the electoral government, UNU government, and then he started the military regime. At that time, my father was kicked out. My uncle, one commander of the Navy, was kicked out. And my another uncle, who is the commander of the army, he was kicked out. Then later on the 7th July, university students protested for the democracy. At that time, at the riot, at the protest, the 350 students were killed. Do you want me to continue?
Yeah, yeah. Wow, and you were in that crowd, right?
Yes, I was in the crowd. When we started, only about 11, 12, 14 people, students were very angry. They took the the rector's son's car out and then put them on blaze, fire. The first army, they sent the police squad came in, and obviously because of the riot, students are very angry, shouting, yelling, screaming. At the time, it was raining in front of the Mandalay hostel. When police cannot handle it, later on, a three army truck arrived, and all the army's soldiers came down with the gun and surrounded the university campus. Then eventually, after about 20 minutes time, army started shooting. They shot at us with the live ammunition, live bullets, and we all ran away. When we ran away, one fella in front of me hit the head, the brain exploded, and then he dead. Another one at the back of me, and he ran away. But he got up, he was shot from the back, and then his whole tummy, abdomen was exploded, and then all the intestine came out. We all shouted, lie down, crawl, just crawl, don't get up. But some people are stupid, they got up and they were shot dead. I crawled on the road and up to the university hostel gate, and then I went in and go in. But they continue to come in into the university campus, as if it is happening in the battle. All the army coming out like they are fighting a battle. And they came in, they shot at us all one after another, and I ran into the university hostel, and they came in up into the hostel, they shot. Eventually I ran upstairs, we were hiding in our rooms. Eventually, we came out of the room, we looked at how many people died, we were counting, and they saw us, we were counting the students, dead students. They shot at us again, and we ran away, and we were hiding. Only when the sun set, I sneaked out of the hostel, I went home. But I did not live in a hostel. I live in the suburb area.
So the entire time while you had to feel the oppression, and that's what you were protesting, of this corrupt regime that was in power forever and ever, the general.
Yes, that is to go back to the story clearly, in 1958, there was a problem in the civilian government. The party started giving the vote of confidence vote at the parliament to get the Prime Minister UNU out. At that time, UNU handed over the power to General Ne Win. General Ne Win took the power, promised that within 3 years we'll arrange the election, proper election. At the time of the meeting, handover meeting, my uncle was with the Prime Minister together. So according to his story, he told me there's an opposition party that you may not know that the King Chongying said that to UNU, that if you hand over the power to the army, it'd be like you feed human flesh to the tiger. When the tiger eats the human flesh, he will eat the whole village. That is what's happening now. They still continue to eat the human flesh for last 60 years up to today now. Today there is a riot and protest. Over 560 children, students, protesters being killed on the street. Still it is going on. This is called Spring Revolution.
Yeah. What do you think, Patrick, and we're speaking to Patrick Yeh, he's got two books that you can pick up, and he describes in great detail what happened to him, a little bit of what we're talking about here, Agony to Agony, Through the Eagle's Eyes, part two of Agony to Agony. You managed to become a pediatric surgeon and suffer through some things you had to deal with there, an artist, an author. And as you said, they're still protesting today. What do you think should happen? What should happen in the world to help the people of Myanmar, formerly Burma?
At the moment, the present general is General Min Aung Hlaing. He was a very young general. When I left the country, he was only 22 years old. He was not even a general yet. The General Nguyen hand over the power one after another. Most of the power he hand over to the person who will obey him completely, like the way Hitler hand over the power to other people. But different thing is, the whole army, if I tell you honestly, the whole entire army, Burmese army, officers, generals and colonels, they are not well educated. There are only few people who are very educated, graduate from the Sanders Military Academy from England. But those who are military educated from the Sanders and educated people like my uncle, they are all kicked out, making the fabricated cases, taking the court, sent them to prison for life sentences. I wrote in the book quite clearly. And anybody who disobeyed Nguyen kicked them out. That regime system and policy follow. Anybody who is a rebel inside the army, they were kicked out one after another.
Wow. Listening to Patrick Yeh. Patrick, thank you. Agony to Agony and Through the Eagle's Eyes, part two of Agony to Agony. Listening to him and seeing what's happening in Myanmar. And, you know, we look at, as he said, that's what we're seeing. And you look at the U.S. policy there on the Myanmar military crackdown on peaceful pro-democracy demonstrations. And this is bipartisan in our country. And even the other day, Mitch McConnell, the Senate Minority Leader, said their instincts are good, that the instincts of the Biden administration are right, and calling for the country's military to end its crackdown on peaceful protests has certainly levied at least two rounds of sanctions. And McConnell says our ability to influence this from halfway around the world is limited. But policy on Myanmar has been complicated in the past. But again, what's so sad is you look at the military regime that brutally repressed the country until 2011, united in praise for its gradual opening to democracy and united again in denouncing the coup launched on February 1st. So people in Myanmar have been protesting across the country ever since the military seized control February 1st after refusing to accept the results of a national election that gave the National League for Democracy 83% of the seats in parliament. And it is very, very sad. And you listen to Patrick describe what happened and now where they are. And you think of, I think of Myanmar, a place, Burma, that would have been on my list of places to see, and how dangerous is it now at this point? The Burmese borders are hazardous places for terrorists and army activity, and certainly the borders with China and Laos are very, very dangerous. And they're cautioning people to be careful and to not travel there. But normally, what an incredible, incredible place it would be to go and visit, to see the things that you would see there, over 800 species of birds. Wow, just a paradise that's being destroyed. Elephants, manatees, wild buffalo, tigers, leopards. So thanks to Patrick Yeh. Pick up his books on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com
or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Paula Diggs is, and she joins us. She's written a really interesting character. And the book is Suzanne Collier's second book of mysteries and mayhem. And it is it conjures up all kinds of things, and we're going to dive into that. But Paula, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you.
So let's talk about your writing career. What got you started in deciding, I'm going to write?
Well, I guess as a kid, I always kept little journals, and I used to tell stories to the kids in the neighborhood. And every summer, when we would sit under the trees, and I would tell stories. And years later, I got letters from them wondering what I was doing with my stories. So I guess I just started writing more stories.
And did you know that eventually you'd be a published author?
I was hoping to be. That was the goal that I always had.
Yeah, and you were, right? You were, we talked about this off the air, you were steeped in English at Cal State Northridge. I mean, this is what you wanted to do. You're an educator.
I am.
Yeah.
I'm an educator, and I was an English major, and that was my goal always, with writing and creative writing.
So now that you actually have done it, what does that feel like?
It was fun. It was just, the books were fun to write, and it was fun as a writer to meet other writers and to talk about words.
And you have words in this book. So tell us about the character. Tell us about your main character in the book.
Well, Suzanne is an annoying but very active girl, and she asks a lot of questions. She's very curious. And she wants to be a detective and find out the answers to big questions. Of course, the main question she wants to know is, why do people do what they do? But in the process, she solves mysteries with some sort of bad characters. She saves animals. She learns what makes a bully and turns him into a friend. So she has a lot of different ways that she goes. And she has had hard times making friends and finally begins to learn how to get along with other people.
Yeah, and here's the thing, too, right? She leaves the nest. She leaves the safety of her home in Kansas, and then she travels to reunite with the family. And you talk about the adventures, and you mentioned that about animals and whatnot. Even at one point, she saves cattle from rustlers and a friend from kidnapping?
This is true. And these are big adventures with really bad characters. And she comes and she has a very patient father who puts up with all of this. So, but these were very, very exciting mysteries and very exciting events in her life.
Yeah, I bet. I love the cover, too, because it takes you back to when you were a kid. You have a little girl on the cover, and she's looking at something and, you know, trying to get with a looking glass, or there's another word for it, but you know how you look through them. I was just looking at one the other day, and it's so clever the way that you've put this together. Will there be even more adventures?
There will be. And I'm in the middle of another one. So, and this, yes, as she gets older. And part of this second book is about some of the mysteries of getting older and developing ways of coping with more feelings.
Oh, that's
good
too.
Leaving her favorite, her companion for many years was her doll, Betsy Wetsy. And she leaves her doll behind and begins to have real relationships with other people.
Are you hoping that girls find especially your books, and it's kind of like a Nancy Drew-ish modern times sort of read?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm hoping. And parents, too. And this is a good book to read to another child, you know, for one kid to read to another kid, or even for a parent to read to a kid, because it's exciting and a lot of things happen.
Boy, I agree with that. Now, you have, you live in Southern California, and you have two Labradoodles. I'm wondering, do you bounce ideas off of them?
I do. Because
I know you like animals, because we talked about that, and we talked about that in this book. That's great. Do you, for this book, again, Suzanne Collier's second book of Mysteries and Mayhem, what do you hope, overall, kids take away from reading your book?
I guess the main thing is for kids and adults who could read it, they might like it too.
Yeah.
Is a feeling that it's okay to be who you are. And if you are too talkative or you ask too many questions, it's still fine to be who you are.
There you go. It's fine to be who you are. All right. So we look for many more adventures, of course, Suzanne Collier's. How'd you come up with that name? I love it.
I have no idea. But some of these things just, you know, how they come into your head, and it just seemed right for me for this character.
Yeah, I think it's a strong name. It fits, and it's so well done. And you're right. As somebody who read Nancy Drew, you and I talked about that. This is a book that you can get lost in as an adult too. But certainly, it's definitely great to read to kids, to read to girls and boys. I mean, really across the board, because her adventures are so interesting, and where she goes from one adventure to another, and then what happens is pretty wild. Paula Diggs, again, you can get this book on Amazon, Susan Collier's second book of Mysteries and Mayhem. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, thank you so much. And I hope everybody who buys the book reads it and enjoys it and finds a solution to lots of mysteries in their lives.
I love it. That's a good way to end this. Thank you, Paula.
Thank you.
So talking to Paula and thinking about Nancy Drew, my mother passed away, I guess it's been 8 years ago. And so one of the things I had is I had all the Nancy Drew books, and Paula would appreciate this because I could see this with her character, Suzanne, where you've got one book after another and it becomes
the mysteries, like she said, that unfold. You can't wait to see what is the latest mystery that this curious kid, you know, young woman is unraveling. And that was the gift of Nancy Drew. And I guess it didn't dawn on me. I didn't realize it. I mean, I knew the mysteries were older. But The Secret of the Old Clock, I kept that book. And that was 1930. So that book went from 1930 to my childhood, many, 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 many decades later. And that was exactly what that was built on. So, you know, you had the mystery at the Lilac Inn, and you had the sign of the twisted candles, and the clue of the broken locket. And it's interesting to see the footsteps of Suzanne Collier, and how she could be that, you know, modern day, I guess is the way to put it, Nancy Drew. And I think that we yearn for that. There are people, because it's a great niche. I think that we kind of yearn for that, the whole idea of unraveling mysteries and what's the next mystery that she's going to solve. And in all, if you look at, and I can imagine if Paula writes this many books, but the Nancy Drew series, there are 175 novels, 34 revised stories, and it was published between 1930 and 2003. So obviously there was a difference as it got steeper into the 2000s or whatever. But how interesting is it that that was so popular, and the writer, Mildred Benson, is the one who was credited with writing the first 23 of the 30 novels. And, ooh, I get goosebumps thinking, could this be something that happens with Paula? And it's just got to be fun to sit there, if you can all imagine this, as we're living in these crazy times and escaping into these mysteries, the kinds of things that you could take this kind of a character on, I think is fascinating. Because you can go back and you can look at it where you could take the character, and she's done that. And she's done just a brilliant job of that, of leaving the comfort, the safety of her home with her Nana in Kansas, traveling on a train to reunite with her family, and ooh, the adventures along the way. Thanks for listening to our adventures here on the show. Make it count, everybody. Coronavirus crisis continues. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Pouty Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.